And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan in with you, and we continue our Light Up This Season for Butler County Children series with Peoples. And in this series, we've been talking to many different nonprofits and the YMCA on the phone with me now. Sandy Eilenfeld, the executive director. Hello, Sandy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great, Tracy. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you here today, and great to have you a part of this season, if you will. And this season is really important to many people, but to the kids as well. And the Y plays an important role year-round, but how do you play an important role during this season?
During this season, you know, times have really changed. So right now, we are really focusing on the needs of kids in our community. We just recently started emergency child care. So on any given day, we have at least 200 children within the Y responsibility areas in multiple locations. Caring for kids, so the essential workers of teachers and nurses and people that work in just our local stores can actually continue to work. One of the other things we do is we provide a youth mentoring program that is amazing and is giving amazing results, and I just can't be more proud of both of those things.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, because this replaced the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program, right?
That's correct. 2017, we really evaluated our Big Brothers Big Sisters program. Not that it was a bad program, but because it was a one-to-one model, our ability to serve youth in Butler County was limited. Also, it created the open possibility of inappropriate actions that we had seen all over the news in other one-to-one ratios. So we spent a year researching, what do we want to do? With that, we came up with a program called Reach and Rise Youth Mentoring Program. And this program was started in San Francisco. It's a YMCA program. It was evidence-based, meaning that it had already researched its results. It had national funding, so the government came in and said, we need a youth mentoring program, and this one really fits the bill for all things. So just a couple of the things that this program has, it has mentor training. So in some mentor programs, we think, yeah, hanging out with a kid is good, but what do you do with that time? So mentors actually go through a 15-hour training of how do you do it, what do you say, and then a curriculum that actually uses the time and makes it all specific. Our mentors work in pairs, so no longer is it just one adult and one child, and then it's a group setting, so six youth and two adults working as a pair. The end result is it's a safer environment that's really functional because the kids get to discuss a lot of topics that are heavy to kids. So when we asked this session, when we evaluated and did the survey, of the three main reasons that they wanted to talk about, anger, attitude, and the ability to communicate their feelings. Those were the things that the kids really felt was important to discuss. And then in those environments, it's a safe environment for them to actually discuss those things.
So the mentors, what is their main role? Is it just to facilitate the conversation, or do they break off then in those pairs to have a deeper conversation with just one, with like two or three kids?
Good question. So they actually stay within the group, and they facilitate the conversation around topics that are already set up. And it gives time for kids to discuss their feelings, to listen to each other, to help youth feel that you're not alone in this. Everyone feels that. And then the youth really support each other. I understand how you feel. And then the mentor training and the curriculum kind of guides the conversation in a safe direction. Age 8 to 15. So in that, you know, it's tough being a kid.
What's the feedback been like?
So the feedback then has been like, we can't keep up with the need. That's the feedback. So we are working with a lot of the school districts, and we work with a lot of the mental health providers in Butler County. And even with our groups, we are serving 3 to 4 times the amount of youth that we were ever able to serve, because we can serve more at a time. But we're just not able to keep up with the need, especially this year with there's a lot of anxiety. And the biggest diagnosis that we seem to have in our groups is ADD and ADHD, and then followed by anxiety. So when we think of those couple things, you see that a lot. And so they're trying to refer kids into our program, and we're trying to keep up with the need. So the biggest things then we need is mentors and then funding to just keep the program going.
I'm going to ask this question, and it's no reflection on Big Brothers Big Sisters program. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say an increased need that you're meeting that, do you think that there is an increased need, or do you think that you finally found a program that was the exact right fit for the need that's out there?
I think there's an increased need. So before we took, and we're really better connected than we were in the past. I think that is true as well. So because it's evidence-based, the school district's connected with us immediately through their guidance counselors, and as many youths as we can handle, they have referrals. On top of that, we created a database with providers in the area of mental health, and they are also working with us. And this gives us resources for our families also that we can refer in and out of other programs. So we're better connected than we were in the past, and I do believe that the anxiety and the needs of youth right now are higher than they were in the past.
Again, when did you start this program?
We kicked it off fall of 2018.
And are you seeing a difference in kids as you've gone just for 2 years? I don't know what the time span would be where you see the switch in mentality or attitudes with kids. But are you seeing that switch? Do you see that they're responding to this program well?
They are responding. So we are having really positive results. We survey. Part of this program is evidence-based. We survey at the beginning, at the end, and we survey the youth, and we survey the families. And both are feeling supported. The youth, when they leave, feel that they have a better ability to process their feelings. And the program is 16 weeks, so it's not an in-and-out. It's 2 hours each week, so it's once per week for 16 weeks. So they really go through a long process of just how do I do different things and talk about different topics that interest them.
You say you had referrals from schools. If there
Yes.
are adults or moms or dads or grandmas and grandpas listening right now and they think, well, maybe my youngster would like to be a part of that, can they just call the Y to be a part of it?
They can. So they can call, and then we actually have an intake where we have a discussion, a family meeting. And all of those things take time. The person that leads this program, that's another difference with this program, has an education of counseling and social work, so they're specific in understanding the needs of the family. A lot of our families are going through really trials, and so understanding the needs, whether it's specific to being in a program like this or whether a referral to another program would be better fit, we take the time to do that.
Let me ask you one more question, then we'll move on to a couple of different areas with the Y. How are you managing this program during COVID right now?
So that's a really good question. Hasn't COVID really given everything a little bit of a spin? In the spring, we were all virtual with our groups, which we set out. We weren't sure how that would work. It's very effective. So it gives youth the ability to share their pets and favorite things in their bedrooms and, you know, their desk and all kinds of different things. And currently, it's in person. We really like the one-to-one ability for kids to talk to someone across the table. And, of course, we're now social distancing as well. So we're just taking it one step at a time. If we need to go virtual again, we have the ability to do that.
Sandy Eilenfeld with us, Executive Director of the YMCA, talking about the Reach and Rise Youth Mentoring Program. But I do want to touch on a couple of other areas with the Y, especially during this season. And one, Sandy, I want to ask you about is Giving Tuesday. Will that be happening again? And how important is it to the Y that people participate?
So Giving Tuesday will be happening. It is December 1st. And for this specifically for this program has no cost to the community, no cost. So you have an educator that actually provides it and the training of mentors and 16 weeks of programming and multiple groups moving. So there is cost required for the Y, but there's no cost to the youth participating or the mentors that are actually in the program. So we rely on funding from the community. Giving Tuesday is just one day to really support the Y in that. You could stop into either of our branches, the Butler YMCA on North Washington Street or our Rosie Schneider YMCA in Cranberry Township. Even simpler than that, you could go on our website, bcfymca.org, and at the very top, there's a donate button. And those things go specifically to making it possible for the Y to offer this program.
And again, I think we assume that everyone knows what Giving Tuesday is, but we'll just kind of remind people that it's a day that's kind of set aside to put an emphasis on giving financially to others, if you can, and giving financially to nonprofit organizations. And the Y, of course, a part of this. And that day, you can give to anyone you want or any organization that you choose. That's fine. But the Y is a part of this with their donate button, again, on your website, right?
That's correct, right at the top, super simple to find.
And even though that's December 1st, you can always give it today, right? I mean,
you
anytime.
Today, right. And this program is ongoing, so we just continue to run the program and expand it consistently, so there is a big need.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do you need from the community at this time? And we'll talk about the Giving Tree fundraiser here in just a moment, but generally speaking for the Y, since we are still in the middle of a pandemic, what is it that you need from the community?
So, you know, it's important for, I think, the community just to realize that we're alive and well. Like, so if you think about the YMCA and the members that we serve here, at least 20% of our members, which is more than 1,000 of our members, come to the Y for almost no cost through our annual support campaign. So that is another place where when they come to the Y, a lot of people are broken, and they come to the Y and they find health in exercise, but that's just the first step of finding friendships and encouragement and a safe place and the ability to build your confidence. And so it just goes on and on with our emergency child care. So we have kids in the building all day long, and so even craft supplies or something simple like that really go a long way when we're trying to manage 200 children in all kinds of different locations and keep everybody healthy and happy.
Let's talk about one other area before I let you go today, Sandy, and it's the Giving Tree fundraiser. Talk about what this is and how people can participate.
Yeah, so this is another really cool thing from the Y. So if you think about kids coming and learning to swim at the Y, so our Giving Tree gives all kinds of different program options that we do here at the Y. For an adult that comes in on a sponsored membership, the ability to take a tap dancing class doesn't sound like much, but you can see their whole world changes whenever they're put with a group, and the group supports each other in what they're doing. Really just all kinds of programmatic ways that we support our community, and then these little tags can give someone the ability to give one person or a family, give a family a membership to the Y. They're real specific things that can break it down and say, I did this, and it's real specific. It's wonderful.
How do you find the families that would like to participate with that free offering, or do they come to you and ask, do you have any help that you can offer us?
They already come to us, so
okay.
We already do this. We do this. This just helps us to be able to do it. So when you come to the Y, you think, okay, that would be great for the Y to do, but there's costs associated with that. So we step out in faith, hoping that someone will backfill the need financially of what we do. So think about offering a swim lesson or offering the ability for a 9-year-old to take a karate lesson. You know, those are all things that just enhance our community long term.
Talk about how we can participate. We can come in. We can call. Can you explain that?
Yes. So you can come in. It's a physical tree. On the tree are mittens that have been knit by very, very kind older women in our YMCA. They're all colorful, and each one has a tag on it with a program that we already offer that says you could give a youth a membership to the Y. You could give a family a membership to the Y for 1 year. You could provide all kinds of different programming options for someone at the Y. Even like preschool, you could offer 3 months of preschool, 1 month of preschool for a 5-year-old.
And the nice thing about this Giving Tree fundraiser is that it is up from Thanksgiving through Christmas. So there's plenty of time to participate.
And people want to really know, like, I did this. You know, so that it makes it real specific. And you can look, and we notice that people like to match things up with maybe their interests, something that they like to do. And they're like, I'm a swimmer, and I'd like to do this because I have enjoyed swimming all my life. I'd really like to give someone else the ability to swim so that they can be safe and they can enjoy swimming.
I'm glad you mentioned swimming. I thought of you the other day in the midst of the pandemic, and I thought, how are you dealing with the pool? Are people able to come swim?
They are. So we've changed the way we manage that. Of course, everyone, our lifeguards now wear masks. Just recently, we've added that. Of course, you do not have to wear a mask in the pool because it's just not possible, but you can reserve your lane. so that you're swimming in a lane by yourself. And we just want to keep all of those things available in our warm pool. A lot of seniors actually use that space because it relieves the muscle and bone ache that they have. They go in and they hurt and they come out and they're happy. And so they can reserve a lane. They can talk to the person in the next lane. They enjoy the time, but they're not necessarily physically close to each other. And then when they get out of the pool, we ask that they put their mask on and they go about their day.
And are you talking both the small and the large? When you say the warm pool, I think of that smaller location.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are offering, both of our pools are open. Mm-hmm. Our swim team is even operating. Everything just looks different. And we're trying to think, how do we keep things as normal as we can and think about the health and well-being of those participating.
I always loved the warm pool whenever I was watching my kids take swimming lessons there. Boy, it was nice and comfortable. It was always warm.
All of our children in child care still go down for a swimming lesson. So that's just part of being at a Y in child care. We actually utilize our Y for everything. The kids play in the gyms and they swim in the pool. And yeah.
Fabulous. Sandy Eilenfeld, Executive Director of YMCA, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Tracy, thank you for having me today.